Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where is the music?
I don't know.
Well, I think we're skipped the music today, I suppose. Unless it's all right. Well, welcome to Scanning the Frequencies, if the music is not going to come on and interrupt us. All right. Welcome to Scanning the Frequencies. I have my guest up, my co-host, Jason here. Stefan Miller had to take had to take a hiatus to work on some other projects, okay? And I am very happy to announce Jason here as the co-host for Scanning the Frequencies. Jason, hello.
Hello. Jason, a.k.a. Lazy Ghost Hunter on TikTok.
Tell us a little bit.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, I'm glad to have you with us. All right, and I'm alone, but anyway, I'm glad to have you here with the spirits in us, okay?
All of us.
And give a little shout-out to everybody. We'll give a little shout-out to, you want to shout-out to anybody at the beginning of the show?
Hey, my former group, Paranormal Truth Seekers of PNW, we got a strong group there on Facebook, still part of the group. I'm just not in the main group membership because I had to step back to work on my own projects as well. So big shout out to them because it's a great source of information and discussion. So
yeah, and I'd like to shout out to Seven Breedlove, okay, or Stefan as I call him. I'd like to give a shout out to him and hope his projects, are going well. I think they are. He's going to be working on quite a few of them. And to my Donnie, okay, and Ricky. And Ricky, got to give a shout out to Ricky. All right, so that's it. Now, what's on our schedule today to talk about? I know we're going to talk about ghost hunting and
finding those hunts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nice. I'm going to let you start on this one.
All right. So, I wanted to really talk to everybody about, finding that paranormal hunt. All right. We see on TV these ghost teams that get together, paranormal investigators, and they're just fed all these just amazing places to go and investigate. We, the common folk, if you will, that don't have a production team that's willing to pay these sites, don't have it so easy when finding a ghost hunt location. Have you had difficulty, Lisa, finding your own hunt?
Well, when I was – I grew up in a historic town, Port Amboy, New Jersey. So since a little kid, we were going to, St. Peter's Cemetery down to, with the big old church from, the Rev War, and we'd, hang out in the cemetery at night and just sit there and wait for things to happen and things like that. So it was a little bit different back then than it is now, I would think. I didn't have so much of a problem because I was, raised very openly in the paranormal, so I was always going to, and I lived in a haunted house too, but you know what I mean? It was different. But when you go out nowadays, you got to watch out. Jason, what I mean, right? You go to a place, you might get, the police might come, there's a whole, different vibe these days, right?
That is correct. So, when you're getting into the paranormal, the first thing you always want to do and the first thing people do is they get on the old internet and what do they search, right? Famous haunt in whatever state I live in.
Right.
And they usually get a bunch of these just junky, written little small articles that are full of pop-up ads telling them five or 10 places that, they should be going in their state. What I want people to understand is while those sites are famous for reasons, as a beginning investigator or an investigative team that is struggling to find haunts, we really need to have you all start thinking outside of that, box. We need to start looking at some of those historical sites. Now, I know, Lisa, you being a historical person, you can tell me what different historical sites people should be looking at and looking for these haunted locations.
Well, I would go to local, wherever they are, and look for the historic locations, whether it's mansions or, I'm in PA, and I'm from Jersey, but I'm outside Philadelphia, and we have historic Fort Mifflin where, I'm going to be truthful, you could spend $10 to go see the fort all day and get as much activity as you can during a night investigation. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
afford it at night, take that $10, go in there and spend the day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the fort. Things like that. So Fort Mifflin, I would say, is a great place to do it. There's other locations that have, you know, a lot of times they have daytime events. I mean, you know, or even contacting. Here's the best thing. Here's what I did. I contacted the Historical or the Preservation Society to get into the places. Do you understand what I mean? Best thing to do when it comes to historic preservation, I mean, investigation and preservation. Well, I do preservation. So investigation would be to contact the historical location in your house, in your town, like whatever place is close and you know that it has a reputation for it, and if it's open to the public or if it's owned by a person, or find the owner or find the historical society that owns it, contact them and ask them if you could go in. That's your best option there. You know that? I mean, there's a lot of little legalities, like you need to sign waivers and stuff like that, but I'm sure that the places would be able to whip them up. But it's a very simple thing. I mean, there's a lot of locations that are not on the map. You know what I mean? For being haunted.
Yeah.
But you could walk around here. Like, I live right by Valley Forge. All right. You know the reputation for Valley Forge, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's Valley Forge. All right. You could just walk around there and just experience, start to really get your groove on. And really, that doesn't cost a penny. You see what I mean? It doesn't cost anything to walk up and down the mountains and see what. And I've done it myself many times, or go to a cemetery even during the day. You don't have to do it at night and get yourself in trouble, you know what I mean? But even during, ghosts or spirits do not just come out at night. You agree, right?
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up. A lot of people think ghost hunting needs to be strictly at night. That's not true. Daytime, nighttime, I think there is potential for activity. Now, if you ask me, I think the nighttime has that effect on our human mind to allow our senses to reach out and experience things or see things that we in the daytime possibly overlook. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's quieter, and it gives the ambiance. It's quieter. It's dark. You know what I mean? There's less movement. You know what I mean? So you're noticing more on your psyche, but you can do that during the day as long as you open yourself up to it.
And you touched upon it, but I really want to stress that, you know, it should be a rule within your ghost hunting team to not trespass.
Oh, never, because you're going to get yourself an ass. You're in trouble, okay?
You could.
Plain
you
and
could.
Simple, or hurt. You could walk into an abandoned building, okay, and sneak into an abandoned building thinking you're cool and you're going to ghost hunt and fall through the floor and wind up in the basement. You got to be careful, and also you get trespassing charges and wind up with a police charge, you know?
Absolutely. God knows you'd be getting arrested if, you know, police ever caught you. There's a potential
right.
for that. You really need to stress, do not trespass if you are looking for a ghost hunt. Because there are several spots. I have a little list I'm going to read off. These are some historical, like, examples of where people can look in their town, because each town has them, battlefield historic sites, right?
Right.
Cemeteries. That's a big one. I see a lot of people, even on TikTok Live and stuff, me included, lazy ghost hunter.
I know.
Walking through cemeteries at times. So that's a very common one. How about historical houses?
Yes.
Right? Main Street and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these houses are still private residences.
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to discuss a little bit later how we can try to finagle our way into these places legally. A couple more examples, schools and churches. We have theaters and museums. Crime scenes. Here's one I've started doing more of. I've started not looking for haunted locations or haunted sites. I started looking, where have bodies been found?
That's a very good idea. I don't mean to flip people out by saying it's a great idea to go find out where dead bodies are found.
Right.
But,
you know,
but it's a great idea because a crime scene is a crime scene. Right?
Right. We always have to understand that, you know, we have to give respect and we have to know a proper way to approach those things.
Right. Like you want to hear from the, if you go to a crime scene, you're going to want to hear from the person, or if, you know, if the, even if it's just the energy or the person or the spirit of what happened wants to communicate what happened, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for more of an answer or more
so
of a communication.
I know those because I take the time and I actually look up more information about the case of where the body was found. Was it ever identified? Was there any link to any other witnesses, or where exactly was the body found on the street? You know, it says a street. They don't want to give for reasons.
I know.
But I think we can dig a little bit using online savvy investigative skills.
Yep. Yep.
As much information as you can about this location. That right there could be potential enough for you to go check it out during the day, maybe do a spirit box session.
Oh, yeah.
Break out an K2 meter, try to see if there's anything that sparks an interest.
Even if it was just your phone and a recorder, that's, you know what I mean? Anything that you could, you know, pick up some kind of response from. You know, I it intrigues me, too, with the sites with, you know, that tragedies have happened or something, because there's always something to be told. You know what I mean? Like, and you're right. It's pretty simple to find a location. Like, you could have a crime scene location. Technically, I could probably go to Philadelphia and walk in every corner.
That's right. And that's true. But you don't also need to find the exact spot exactly where it is. It's good to narrow it down. But understand that these spirits, if they're there, most likely, you know, have no limitation on the area around where they can go. Potentially, they phase in and out of that area, going to other locations to haunt. So, you know, hey, definitely, I'd say go in there with a respectful approach. Make sure you're not trespassing. And try to find out as much information as you can. And that's a great way to get alternative sites to go to.
Well, you know something. When I went to, years ago, this is, 2007, I think it was. When I went to Valley Forge, I went over to Valley Forge, and I think it was a group of like, I don't know, four or five of us adults, okay? And we were walking. When I came home, you know, we did EVP sessions, you know, like while we were walking and everything, or we'd sit down and we'd do them. You know, when I got home from just a trip to Valley, there was a little child on the recorder saying, "For Amelia." I'm not lying.
Oh, wow.
I have that somewhere. So you can do exactly what you're saying. Go to a place, go to a location, whether it's a crime scene, a historic. You know, technically, when we think about it, especially, well, the East Coast a lot, you know, and the West Coast has a different vibe because they're more like the 1800s, you know what I mean, the 1800s, right?
Right.
They have more of that Wild West vibe, right, out there.
Right.
But up here, it's more the Rev War, you know what I mean, like the whole vibe. So there's places everywhere where not only, like you said, where crime scenes were, but where events took place, whether it's war, skirmishes, you know what I mean, shootouts.
A fingerprint in the energy field, right?
Right. It is there. The energy is left behind. I'm convinced of that. The energy is left behind. I mean, there is definitely some kind of, you know, vibe. Around here, there's so many places in PA. It's just like a free-for-all because there's so many historic locations between here and Jersey that happened during the Rev War, the Civil War, and the War 1812. You know what I mean? So, but yet, when you think about it, even out there, when you're on the West Coast, I don't know where in Washington you are, but I bet you there's a lot of places, you know, with the Native Americans, you've got a lot of tragedy that happened. You know that, right? So
Absolutely. We've
got
Absolutely.
Places like that, you know, I mean, we've got a ton of them here too, but you've got places like that basically all over the country. So the energy could be anywhere, Am I right?
And what people have to understand is there doesn't need to be a famous haunted location, right? Like look for those spots. So I did mention earlier that I'd talk about like how to approach these private residence haunts.
Very good question.
Yeah. Well, are people just going to call you out of the blue? No. So the first thing I recommend is building a respectable online presence.
Exactly.
So this is an online presence, whether it be a Facebook group, maybe your TikTok account. You go live often.
Twitter.
You, your state.
Yep.
Twitter, making contact. This is all networking opportunities in the paranormal community, right? I preach a lot, hashtag para-unity. That is something I include in a lot of my posts and everything else, because I believe that a lot of the paranormal community is divided into gatekeeping little cliques. And I
it
am
is.
One right
it
now.
Is.
I'm not.
I'm so done with that, with the whole clicky thing. It's the ego's running rampant. We need unity, and we need it now, right?
We have a bunch of edgelords that are keeping a lot of people out that would be interested in doing paranormal investigations, and they're keeping them out because, well, they want to be top dog, right? And I don't agree with that, and I think that we need to come together. That's why if you see a hashtag para-unity out there, you know, hey,
yes.
repost that. Make a comment on the post.
You're absolutely correct. Look, I formed my own group in 2007, Pups, okay? Since then, I've seen my share of what I don't want to see. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I do not want to see anymore in the field. It's time for people to open their hearts, open their minds, and give love to each other instead of trying to tear each other down.
People are wanting to make money in the hobby. And I think that right there is if money or fame is your drive in the hobby, right there you're corrupted from the beginning and you're not going to have a great success. I think that if whatever success you do get is eventually going to fall apart because karma is a real thing and because you know, it's definitely a better thing to build a community up than to be a lone wolf and top dog in your little pond. I think we need to definitely reach out to each other. I love when I see YouTube channels and investigators teaming up with each other, TikTokers meeting up and teaming up and doing investigations together. That's the stuff I love doing. But a lot of the other stuff we have in our society is divisional conversation.
Yes.
We have a lot of strong opinions in this field, and we also need to put some of those aside, I think, and understand people have different views, and none of it, not even what you are most certain of, has been proven scientifically. So we need to go in this with an understanding that right now, everyone's right.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, look, I've been in this field a really long time. On, I've had my fair share of stalkers, trust me, and put downers on, I came out of it still me, put it that way, but with a more open mind to say that this is not the way it should go, okay? You can't put people down for their beliefs. You can listen to them. What about listening to them? Because none of this is a proven science to begin with. We're all learning every single day. Each time I do, because I run the box. What they did to Frank, number one, it still irks me till this day. What they did to my friend Frank Sumption and how everybody belittled him, just to, making money off of what he did, but in different areas and then put him down, okay? And then when he died, everybody became his freaking friend, okay? That really showed me a little bit of, and I know who his good friends were, trust me,
Right.
And it showed me a side of things that he never wanted. I never wanted. He said it himself. What we're in this for is to learn. What we're learning, we're learning from the spirits. They have a lot to teach us, whether we realize it or not. Okay, we're trying to step into another realm. And they have a lot that they have to offer us that we are ignoring because all they're doing is fighting and belittling each other and putting each other down.
And that low vibrational frequency that everyone's using and that hate-filled mentality, that is going to not bring you the answers that you're looking for. right?
No, that's all that's going to bring you. You know what my common thing, and I've said since the beginning, since I've started my group, if you're looking for demons, you're going to find them. You see what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely.
If you're looking for them, you will find them. If you've got that negative energy going, that's what's going to come.
That's a terrific point. And same can be said, you know, when people bring a skeptic, and I'm a skeptic. I'm a healthy skeptic, right?
So am I.
But people bring that debunking skeptic type that you're never going to prove to that the paranormal exists.
Yep.
And when you bring that type of person in, that energy follows them, and you won't see anything on us, most likely. So,
and if you do, it'll be put down and made fun of.
Be around the energies that you want to attract people.
That's right. You got to know your tribe. In other words, find your tribe. Find the people that are like-minded with you and do not give up on them. You know what I mean? You got to find your tribe, in other words. Just find the people that you work with. Because
well,
if you start bringing in people, I mean, nobody knows. I mean, at this point in age with me, I can pretty much spot an asshole when I'm like from a mile away. You understand
well,
what I mean, right?
People for a coffee, at least. I'm an asshole. But
well, wait. We're all – no, I'm an idiot before coffee. I'm dumb before coffee.
All right. We got a little off track, but let's get back. I want to talk about building that online presence. And why you're wanting to build that online presence is because you want to become a trusted source, okay? Now, this is kind of a, you know, a thing that also can attract people that are just wanting attention from something they're enjoying and getting enjoyment out of. They could be a viewer that likes watching, and then, oh, I want them to come and explore my place. And
exactly.
They reach out to you. So we have to be that trusted source, but we also need to have honest assessments ourselves on who we're talking to, the place that we're investigating potentially.
Yes.
And again, we need to be safe. We need to know who we're talking to, make sure we have a good amount of information, ensure that you're not the only one talking to this individual. So when you
and
go
also research place, where you're going, the property
right.
line, the owners, what even if you know these people are working like in the, like living in the place now, make sure you research who's lived there prior. You understand? Because that's got a lot to do with it. You know
I use a website called diedinhouse.com.
Uh-huh.
They are not sponsoring the show tonight. That would be great if they want to sponsor, but they're
sure,
not.
Yes, please.
reach out if you want to sponsor. This website is terrific, folks. It will give you some free information for the first few tries where you put an address in. You can find out whatever residence or address you're putting the information in. It'll tell you everything about that property you need to know, including if there's been a death on that property. Of course, people can die off, but then still come back to that property. Of course that happens. This, however, does give you a lot of good information besides who died in that house. It gives you the acreage that the property sits on, the names of all the individuals that have been associated
Fantastic.
With that property, right? So
that's what you need.
Wealth of information.
See, I'm a historical researcher. I definitely am good with researching history, researching properties, researching ancestry, especially like for haunted locations. And I've done it for Fort Mifflin. I've done it for Selma Mansion. And I can tell you, it is the best tool that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
You are absolutely right, Jason, 100%. It's the best tool you can have is knowing who, because this is a place that, like, let's say you have a house. Let's say it was built even in 1950, right? That land was owned prior by someone else. You understand what I mean? Like, so you have a lot of digging
right.
to do when it comes into that. Because you could have a murder that took place in 1800 and you have no clue. So it's pretty
extensive.
But also,
I'm reviewing evidence after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Certain names pop up, right? And you can
actually
check against any of the names that have been associated with that property. You may be surprised at what you come across. So, great source of information. Like you said, that's something people, our investigators out there, all you folks need to have in your back pocket is that website, diedinhouse.com.
Yep. And also Ancestry.com does good too. I mean, like I know they're not going to sponsor us, but like if you want to go into the personal aspect of the people, you know what I mean, and hit that up. Besides that, because
now
it's very, very, very good to have.
We're delving into a lot of information that we're getting from people, and I know a lot of us ghosties out there, we have our websites and group pages, and we're wanting to communicate, talk about the things we're doing, but we always need to understand that we have to protect the client's privacy.
Oh, yes, and there must be waivers. When you go into a human, listen to me, when you go into a human's home, okay, when you go into people's houses, you must sign, I would believe you should sign some kind of waiver that for privacy. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I mean? To keep each other, you know, if they want privacy, you've got to respect that, you know, to make sure you keep it. And you have to respect the owners if they don't want their names and information put out there publicly. You could always say it's a location and give the evidence without showing. You know, you see what I mean, right?
Yep.
Without letting them know who it was. You know, things like that. I think that when it comes to watching your back and your client's back, that's very important.
So
I mean, we did his
where
conversation.
Where can people go to find examples of these waivers?
What's a prime example? Well, what we did for historic locations was, number one, we sign a waiver for, like, if you get hurt at a location, number one, okay, you want to make sure that the location's not responsible for it. You're signing for that. But if you do for a personal, you want to make sure if the client does not want the name and location stated, you know, you can make up your own waivers. But if you don't want the name and public, if you don't want the evidence public, I think you should probably talk to the client ahead of time about that. And if they don't mind the public, then go for it. You know what I mean? It'll still be the same, but at least it's signed and it's safer for everybody involved because you don't need a lawsuit down the road.
Right. And the thing is also, anyone can make anything and
exactly
one to sign it. But please, what I'd recommend is if you're in an investigative group, maybe there's a lawyer friend in one of the, one of the back pockets of our fellow hunters. Or
right. Or a notary republic. Notary republic. Get it notarized.
Get enough money together and have a lawyer wall up a custom waiver of protection. That way it's going to hold up in court more than just you wrote it or you can.
That's
find
why getting a notary to if it's that intense, so like if it's just an investigation, you know, it's one thing, but like if it's an intense, you want to have at least have a notary republic sign it because that's both witness, that's legal. You get what I mean? So when you sign it, then you can go to a notary and just get it done. You know, get it done like that. Then yeah, a lawyer would be good. If it's a big case, yeah. If it's a little case, probably just a notary. You know?
Right. I think having a group standard waiver would be really beneficial also. So keep that in mind for your group.
Yep, we had that for historic purposes at Fort Mifflin. They had waivers for the people that came in to investigate to sign. You know,
right.
And the same with Selma Mansion. I created the waivers for Selma. So, yeah, we had them. And
we're talking about those same things again, right? Fort Mifflin, stuff like that. Well, Fort Mifflin
rocks. Everybody needs to go vote for Fort Mifflin. They're up for the most haunted place in Pennsylvania. And they deserve it.
What website is that where people can go and vote?
Oh, I'll post it on Scanning and Frequencies website. I'll send you the link though, and I'll put it onto I'll send it to your TikTok. I'll make a little thing. All right. Because I don't know what it is right this second, but they're doing it on, from Philadelphia. They're doing it for the most haunted place in the area. And it can take, let me tell you something. I would love for you, Ricky and everybody. We need to have an event there of some sort. Okay. Because this place is the single most active place I have ever been to in all my years.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay, and you're going, this is the Revolutionary War fort that was constructed in 1771, okay? Then it took a siege from the Revolutionary War. It's the only reason why George Washington got to Valley Forge in the first place. It took a 6-week and 6-day siege from the British, and then the British took it over. All right, then they got it back, of course, at the end. All right, but then it was redone, I believe, in 1786 was redone. It was through the War of 1812, through the, became a Civil War prison in during the Civil War, too, which has an intense history. This place is totally active, and it's the only intact Revolutionary War fort in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a phenomenal place. And when I say that, you can go there for $10 during the day. And
right.
you can investigate all you want. And especially on weekdays, because there's not a lot of traffic. They have weekend events, usually, on weekends. But like, mostly during the summertime, you know. And but you can go there during the day and a weekday, and you're there for $10, and you can come out with more evidence than you ever imagined.
But what about those famous hunts that we saw when we first Googled, you know, haunted locations in my state? What about those? Are they easy to get to?
I don't know. I mean, I know that it's easier. I don't know. Like the Pennhurst and stuff, they're only open, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know Pennhurst, right?
Yep.
You've heard of Pennhurst, okay? I think they're open during certain seasons and open to nightly investigations. So that's a little different than, like, going to the fort for the day. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different.
List. They have websites devoted to these places. People will buy properties, and they hold on to them because they are historical. But also, they are an attraction of sorts where people do pay money to go and have those tours done throughout it. Now, for me, personally, if I have a team, I don't want to go on a ghost tour with other people and have them included in my investigation.
That's more of a public investigation. Like, we would limit that to 25 people at Fort Mifflin and about 20 people at Selma Mansion. But that was good because we broke it up and took teams out. When, that's different, though. That's just, you know what I mean? It's different than going in on your own,
right?
It's different than going in on your own. It's when you want to go in, you want to tour it, you got to contact the owner of the location. Like, let's say it's a church. Oh, well, I don't know if they're going to let you in, but you want to go try.
Yeah, this might have stigmas attached to that. But,
I mean,
yeah.
But let's say the church has a cemetery. Okay. Let's say the church, like, up here, there's, like, a place called Laurel Hill Cemetery. It is very active. I got some of my best EVPs there during the day.
I'm telling people, hunt with the lights on.
Yep. During the day.
Ghost hunters do it best in the dark, folks. But guess what? Sometimes it's good to turn on those lights.
You don't need – look, I learned this from – because you know I run the Frank's Box. You know that Frank Sumption was my closest friend in the world. And he passed away, and I miss him every single day. But I have his box, and I communicate to the spirits through – it's not like your standard ghost box. Trust me, it's completely different. It's completely different. It is made by him. There's a huge difference. And I could take that in the middle of a cemetery, just like you did that day when you were out there and I was watching you. All right, in the cemetery. All right, you take that. You put that thing down. You turn that on, or you run your – you know, for me, I'd put it on, and then I'd start asking who was there. And, you know, like you did, the same thing on your TikTok. All right, and then the responses you get, doesn't matter what time of day. Ghosts don't sleep during the day, or spirits don't sleep during the day. They hear you.
Right.
They don't have to sleep.
You know, that'd be a good thing to ask during our next Spirit Box session or anything, is, you know, what time of day is it?
I've tried that. Listen to what – yeah. They don't – they have a different – like, I ask where they are a lot, and they say right here, but I can't see them. You understand?
Right.
Like, that type of thing. But they'll say – Well, I got the comedy club, so usually the full time isn't there.
Yeah, right.
I really have gotten that. But they seem to run on a – I can't explain it, but they say they're here. Where are you? Right here. Okay, well, where is that? Right here. What time is it? What time is it there? That's the kind of shit I get. But like, it's a good point. Next time you run it, you ask it, because I'll just get the comedy club and get the same response.
So, hey, folks, if you're going for those famous ghost hunts, just know it's going to cost you some money, most likely, and that's to help keep and preserve the places that you're going, which is a great way to keep these amazing sites accessible. However, there are waiting lists, expensive at times to go through. So,
and
so
cemeteries.
let's talk about honest assessments. So you've only done a couple household investigations, right?
Yeah, I'm into historic preservation and historic
right.
research. So I research history and the paranormal, and I coincide the both together because I've learned that through the paranormal I've come up with more history and vice versa. Like I'll get a name, I'll find it in this. It's just like you said, it's a snowball effect. So I really enjoy that type of thing. But the reason why I don't do homes is, number one, I don't feel like I'm confident enough to tell people what they have in their. You understand what I'm saying? It's just my assessment. I'm a researcher. It would take me 3 years just to find out what the hell was in their house. You understand?
Right.
Like, I'm just not that person. I am that much of a researcher to back my stories up. It took me 3 years to research one spirit. You understand? So
yeah.
That's me. I just don't feel comfortable. I don't have a psychology. Well, my daughter does. I could probably take her. But the psychology background, it's good to have somebody that has a psychological background, like a psychology background in your group, I think. Don't you think so? Or somebody that's more aware like that?
You have to have people that are a little bit, you know, traveled in the world, I feel. People
yes.
that have some wisdom to go along with their investigative practice. So,
right. Like
I don't
I'm an empath.
You need to be a psychologist.
I'm an empath. I could do it. I mean, I'm an empath. I can pick up people's empathy. Like I'm definitely an empath. Okay, but I don't know if I want to do that.
So when you do go private residences, folks, mm-hmm. making these honest assessments is kind of sometimes a challenge. You have these very sweet people at times that'll reach out to you and tell you, you know, hey, I've had these cold spots. We've seen orbs, we've seen
this. Right.
And they're very sweet people, but you need to have integrity for yourself and your group to have honest assessments through your investigative practices.
I agree. I did that with mine. Yeah, definitely did that with mine. Yep, yep.
You
have to
not,
have that honesty. Mm-hmm.
Do not be tempted to just go, yeah, maybe it is a ghost, you know?
Nope.
Go in there, debunk stuff. And look at it with an analytical mindset. Make
yep.
sure to see if you're able to explain it in a logical way. When you can't, that's when it's paranormal. Also, businesses such as Airbnbs, people
yes.
that own properties, will
yep.
get ghost teams to come in and try to tell a place is haunted just so they can charge more and advertise it as haunted. Make more money for themselves, so you have to make sure that you're not being fooled into giving a haunted labeling, if you will.
Listen,
or classification.
Jason, perfect example here. At night, before any of this, I mean, this was before the gold paranormal surge, I would say, in 1999, okay, I knew that the place up here in Pennsylvania, Pineapple Hill Bed and Breakfast, had a you know, like a reputation for being haunted. But this is before the surge. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Before anything really was, you know what I mean? It wasn't really popular at that point. So I reserved the stairs where it said that they – because I researched to find this out. So it took a lot of research to find the place. But – and I took the – this was like my first investigation, like
uh-huh.
legitimately with a recorder – oh, my God, I even had a tape recorder back then. All right, let's just forget about that.
I still use the tape recorder. Sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I have one, too. All right, and so it was back then, but I went in and I took a whole weekend up at this bed and breakfast. Let me tell you something. I just did EVPs and did things like that. The door opened and whatnot and closed, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then when we got back to Jersey, because that's where I was living and born and raised, when we got back there, I got crazy EVP. Now, they're on cassette, okay, micro cassette. Okay, but I got crazy EVPs, and I got, and I don't know if I still have this because I lost all my items, you know, through what I went through. But I had a picture when we were leaving of a little boy in the window. I will never forget that. So B&Bs now are a little different. They might want to advertise, but back then, you see what I'm saying? This was not... how it was. I had to search a place in order to find it.
And that's the thing, folks. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't go, we reached a dead end. Be active and think outside of the box. Keep communicating. Oh. Even when you're told no, keep writing letters to get other people to say yes. Don't
get Yep. Go to sites, too. Go to sites. Anything historical that has that is historic occurs. I don't mean, I don't, Washington, what does Washington have up by you? What does it have,
oh,
like, historically? I know.
Oh.
What places can you give a shout out?
Puget Sound. We have Medicine Creek.
Okay.
We have all sorts of areas.
Which are known to have had things happen in the area that would be active as hell, right?
Correct. But a lot of the
and it's
things
free.
I have to dig on to find, oh, this is actually a haunted location. Okay, you know, like, oh, this makes sense. Didn't know that it was considered a haunted location. I just knew it was a historical site, right?
That's where you get the haunted location. I'm telling you, more historical sites or things that have happened. Like you said, crime scenes, blah, 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 all that. That's where you find the most activity for some reason. You do. I don't know whether it's energy left behind. Could be energy left behind, a time stamp, so to speak, or spirits left behind, or a ghost. I mean, I'm still up in the air on the whole ghost spirit thing anyway. You know what I mean? What are they? Because we can't see them. You know what I'm saying? But energy left behind. But the whole place, everything, energy never dies. It only transforms, right?
Into other forms of energy, correct.
Right. So, therefore, when you go to a location like that, like if you just went for a hike, so to speak, right, where you're talking about, you could bring your recorder. You could sit down and see what you come up with.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're going down that trail, there's always that little stretch that's kind of creepy, kind of eerie. What if you're picking up on a vortex?
Oh, you probably are.
What if you're picking up on a portal, right?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
So you don't know. You could research ley lines and everything else later, but walking, using your recorder, practicing with it, at, in the least, you're at least doing that. You're practicing utilizing a investigative method type in the field, and it'll get you to be better at utilizing this equipment later during actual.
Yes, and always remember to put the recorder down.
right.
Okay. Place it down on a solid foundation.
Pocket,
you don't
yeah.
want your finger to sound like fuck you. You know what I mean? Excuse my language, but you know what I mean? Like, when you rub it. And no, you don't want that. You want to put it down. But still, you can get total, you'll never know what you're going to get when, you know what? Sometimes people, I don't know if you want to touch on this, people sometimes are like an antenna. Or
yeah.
magnet.
We'll touch upon that another episode.
That would be another good one. Because
I want to talk about people and their individual frequencies.
Yep, that would be a good episode because a lot of people are definitely more prone to paranormal experiences than others. But that doesn't mean that everybody can't have one.
Before I run off to go have my dinner, I'm going to leave everyone with this last piece of advice for finding haunts. And that is, hashtag para-unity.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
to other groups. Talk to other investigators. Have them share information with you. And you share with them. And you will create that network where you start getting information and locations to go to. So hashtag para-unity, everybody. That is my biggest stressor I want to put out there tonight.
And we have to know that people have to find their like-minded people, find your tribe, find the people that you can relate to spiritually, emotionally, people that bring your spirit up, not down. Don't
That's attach
right. yourself to people who bring your spirit down because when you do that, your whole vibration goes down with it. And you want to keep it
find
up.
Find your tribe, but don't be tribal.
Right. Oh, don't have an ego. Park the ego in the garage door and shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because egos are running, well, it rained and now it's not raining. Egos are running, it's lightning though. Oh, God. Egos run right way too rampant. Everybody needs to calm the fuck down and just take their time and just breathe and know nobody's above anybody in this field. Nobody.
I know everybody loves wearing black in this field, but guess what, folks? Sometimes you can put on a floral shirt like your pale lazy ghost hunter. And just chill the fuck out.
Lady, they come in all colors.
I think this has been a blast, but I have to go because I have an assigned dinner time, unfortunately, with this work conference I'm at.
All right, we're going to cut this episode 15 minutes short, okay? But, Jason, I will see you back in 2 weeks, okay? And maybe
Absolutely.
We'll cover that topic of how people are more prone to paranormal activity than others and how their vibrational frequencies will expand out to, you understand, like to be able to experience more. And
why people see ghosts, we'll call that.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Why people, because certain people can get tapped on the shoulder by a spirit and other people can't.
Right.
Other people don't feel it or don't hear it or don't see it or don't sense it. But more people, you know what I mean? And actually spirits are attracted more to certain people. I don't know whether, Frank used to say it was like an antenna. It was like an antenna that radiated.
I believe that you can get to that point if you're not there, though. And I'll share those secrets next show.
Exactly. All right. Wonderful show tonight, Jace. Okay, love you. And a shout out to everybody like Seven, Stefan, and Tawny, and Ricky. Okay, we love you guys. All right. And Jason, you have a wonderful night.
You have a wonderful night as well. Take care.
Okay. Take care.
All right.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Now.
Bye.